this is a physical Roman 17. Starts in April 1958 and runs through August of 1958. It starts with vertical gel, April 9th through 10th, a pretty vertical gel with two beta globin variations, with the faster beta globin and the normal or more common variant. Both, of course, are normal. Very clear. Another vertical gel. The vertical gels are now very common. This is a particularly pretty one. April 10th, 11th, with the pre-albumin, a bit with the post-albumins showing very well. I must have been pleased with these results. With the faster variant of beta globin on this gel on April 15th. More vertical gels, April 16th, 17th, very pretty haptoglobin patterns in this particular one, which was a check on previous results with the comment that it checks completely on there's a 1, 2A and a 2B, quite spectacular results, even looking now from a later time. Vertical gel. April 28th, Thursday through Monday, attempts at non-slicing gels. Not quite clear what is involved here, but it looks like three layers of gel. Results fairly good. Commented that it would be good to have transmitted light to get rid of some of the troubles. Messing around with different sample methods again, Sunday, April 27th. Some photographic tests still going on. A vertical glass water cooled 3mm gel was run on Wednesday, May 7th, with a comment that note new resolutions in the post betas. They are quite nice. I don't know that I ever followed them up, but the results are quite pretty. I'm clearly pleased with them. This is a vertical glass and water cooled 3mm gel. looking at the post betas again. A whole bunch of samples that were haptoglobin type 1, presumably. There aren't any beta any haptoglobins visible. But these are samples 3529573 8, etc., etc. Probably from the Aborigines, but quite a lot of variation in the. They're all haptoglobin 1-1, and they were chosen so that I could look at post betas, as it says there, all haptoglobin 1-1s for post betas, and 20 volts per centimeter high voltage. And the result is very good, although a lot, a number 108 of starch should be even better. However, there are very clear variations in this region, and I never was able to follow all the variations that I could see. But that is a very pretty example. It looks almost as if there was a homozygote, a heterozygote, and another homozygote variations in these post-beta sample. Trying to get transparent again at 20 by Friday, May 9th, still using high voltages and looking for various features. This particular sample says that all at this voltages, at these voltages, the zones are self-sharpening, and the post-albumins are very good, and post-betas are clear of all haptoglobins when the even when there is hemoglobin present. Clearly, a lot of variation. May 9th is somewhat interesting. There is a regular photograph of this gel, which was run at 20 volts per centimeter, rather slow, with water flow, so it was evidently a cool gel. And the resolution is really quite remarkable. And it says of the post albumins, perfect post albumins. But alongside is a Polaroid image, perhaps not of the same gel, but it's a beginning of the fact that we could take images with Polaroid rather than have to develop all the images with microfile and then print them. Is clearly a Polaroid, quite well preserved considering the length of time. But there is no comment about it. It's just attached to the page. It's somewhat uncertain whether that attachment is a later attachment or not, because it's stapled into the page and no evidence that it had been fastened in with tape. So I'm a little suspicious about that, about the Polaroid image that is attached there, May 9th. The regular photograph is very clear and very good images. Monday, May 12th, remade the water glass tray with efficient cooling to the edges, and it was off a bit early. something I called a dynamic equilibrium experiment, Tuesday, May 13th. Run on a one-dimensional for 8 hours, and then starts sectioned and frozen, inserted into the gel, trying to get out the various components. So trying to be sure that they aren't artifacts, and it's clear, as I said, that all three bands are as when originally prepared. So to cutting out the three bands, these are the haptoglobin bands, with Dr. Scott's old serum and hemoglobin. So the hemoglobin haptoglobin bands cut out from the gel and rerun to establish that the polymers are stable polymers. They're not something dynamic. You can see that each band, when cut out, runs again at the same place. Quite a good gel, and quite a clear result. Tuesday, May 13th. Tuesday, Wednesday, May 14th, I attempted an air-cooled vertical gel with forward and backward currents initially, for some unobvious reason. So going 5 seconds forwards and 1.25 seconds backwards, and then forwards. Maybe to try to get mixing of some sort. But the results are really quite pretty, whatever I did, even though it was clearly a little odd, because it was on at 10 p.m. and by 11:20 the reverser had ceased to function, and it was constant forward, so it was always going forwards at that point. But the patterns are good. Thursday, Friday, May 16th, the VAC gel, vertical air-cooled gel, quite nice, not spectacular. More and more samples over the next few days. And sample on Wednesday, May 21st, a labelled Emily Atwood 667 plus hemoglobin, showing that it's a type 2A modified, or N sample. Again, a test of haptoglobin, whether it's an equilibrium or a stable polymers, on Thursday, May 22nd. And it says the result confirms that number one, haptoglobin 2-2, and number two, haptoglobin 2-2 bands do not revert to mixtures. So they're stable polymers. Haptoglobin polymers are stable. Again, thinking about this on Friday, May 23rd, intercomver- query interver- interconversion of haptoglobin types. So I mixed my serum, which is type 1, with Otto's, which is type 2, type 2B, and compared with Dr. Scott's, which is type 2A, and tried to see whether they would come back to type 2-1 pattern, whether a 50-50 mixture of type 1 and type 2B would give a 2A. The result there is a possible indication of no sure haptoglobins. It was not evidently a very good experiment. And so tried with semi-pure haptoglobins and acid gels. This was the beginning of trying to understand the polymers to see whether I could get something simpler. And it's actually quite an important gel. This was partially purified haptoglobins, then run in a gel, which was three gels, pH 2.4, 2.1 and 1.7 acid gels. And the polymers are present in the 0.02 molar HCl negative. They're going the opposite way from usual, but the polymers are still present, and even at 0.05 molar HCl, although the gel is not so clear, it's obvious that the polymers are still present and observable at an acid pH, so they're stable. There is nothing that comes apart if the haptoglobins are made acidic. On the other hand, similar important, these are quite important gel for understanding what was going on in the whole situation with the haptoglobin polymers, so that the Saturday one establishes that the polymers are not dissociable by changing them from negatively charged to positively charged. And the following day was a test on Saturday, May 24th, by adding urea, and that were 2 molar urea or 8 molar urea at an alkaline pH did not alter the polymers. So of the type 2A and type 2B, they didn't change to become 1, for example. So that they're stable in the presence of 8 molar urea. And the comment is 8 molar urea can shows completely normal pattern, photogenic. Repeat with 4 molar, although it was not really necessary. And then here was an attempt to see whether high ionic strength would make any difference. Using XXM buffer, which is much higher ionic strength than the usual borate gel, it didn't have any effect on the haptoglobin types. The result is not very pretty, but it shows clearly that using XXM buffer didn't make the samples dissociate, didn't make the polymers dissociate, and nor did EDTA. In those days, we called it Versine. It was a trade name for EDTA, and Versine, three sodium positives at that pH 7, didn't change the polymers. But trying 0.05 molar sodium hydroxide really did mess things up, and you couldn't to see what was happening in this. There's some very strange effects in that gel, the sodium hydroxide gel. But EDTA itself at pH 7.5 did not take away the polymer, so they're not held together by something that's removable by a calcium or magnesium chelator, and then trying SS reduction. So I tried reducing conditions using thioacetic acid, SHCH2COOH, 0.01 molar, at a pH with boric acid. pH was 8.25 in the presence then of 10 millimolar thiol, and the polymers are still there, so they are not affected by just a simple reduction with a thiol. They're too stable to be broken apart by just thiol reduction. Periodic acid oxidation was attempted with 0.5% HiO4, approximately 20 millimolar, but this is the first commented there's no detectable protein, but the gel was not kept. But it said this is the first reagent experiment at a high pH that wrecks the haptoglobin. So periodic acid wrecks the haptoglobin. And trying 0.01 molar HCl on Tuesday, May 27th, but adsorption was bad. There's no image there, so I think this must have been it's not clear. About 8 to 10 volts per centimeter of active paper. So this was probably a filter paper experiment of some type. Adsorption just as bad, because the following page shows some filter papers where haptoglobin was migrating in 0.01 molar versine at pH 7.8 and or at pH 9.1 and just adsorbing to the filter paper, so not useful. Something about ripples of changing the voltage from reversing the voltage up and down in testing anti-ripple current reverser. I was able to prove that the ripples are not due to heating. One pattern plus 300 in one direction, minus 300 in the other direction, gave no ripples with dilute hemoglobin, but if I changed the pattern, I could get ripples. Inverting the gel to the natural position gives a perfect result, no ripples. So the ripples are due to hemoglobin or whatever protein migrating upwards against the gravitational against gravity, concentrating and then electro decanting backwards and so causing ripples. I can't understand. It says here the results on early book 14 when the vertical was condemned. Anyway, test downwards migration more fully. And this is obviously what was happening there, because on Thursday, Friday, May 30th, the comment is it's a gel 2 volt air conditioned downwards, And the images, May 28th, are compared with the old, new vertical versus the old vertical. And the results are virtually indistinguishable. And both are quite good. Looking at some with the two betas, the beta B and C, and the faster beta globin. Friday, May 30th, photography again. A rather pretty gel on Friday, May 30th, 31st, Saturday. Vertical air cooled gel downwards with 135 volts over. Very satisfactory result, showing now the three forms of the beta globins, which I haven't previously specifically commented in the notebooks, but there is a homozygote for slower, and the heterozygote for slower, and the common one. And then there's a homozygote common, and then there's a heterozygote common, and the faster one. So this is a pretty gel showing the fast beta globin and the slower beta globin on the same gel, and the homozygote of one of them, and a rather glorious resolution of the haptoglobin polymers, which one can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 10 bands with the comment. Very satisfactory. And this is thawed samples from previously. I must be getting close to the time when this was published, because I'm getting very good results, and I expect I'll come across the gel that was used for publication shortly. On Friday, May 30th, I did an ultracentrifuge run on a large batch of haptoglobin 1-1, prepared in the usual way. Why, I'm not sure. It says the results suggest about 15% heavy and about 89% light impurities on the main band. There are some impurities on the gel, and a sketch of the gel. Vertical electrophoresis with and without the hemoglobin for the three standard haptoglobin type, fairly good, but must adjust lateral alignment of the slit exactly horizontally, to whatever that means. Purified haptoglobins on Monday, Tuesday, June 2nd. No good where methemoglobin is present, it's saying. Quite difficult to understand at the moment, these gels. It's 1% haptoglobin 1-1 from the ultracentrifuge, that's what it is, and it's just not very, nothing's very pure. Purified haptoglobin. Now this is really good haptoglobin purified gel. Tuesday, Wednesday, June 3rd and 4th is a beautiful gel showing the four haptoglobin types with purified haptoglobin now, type 1, type 2A, type 2B, and type 2A modified. I know that this gel was published. I don't remember where it was published, but that image is one that was definitely published. In fact, I do know where it was published. It was published in describing later with George Connell the method of purifying the haptoglobin, because these purified haptoglobin were made by George Connell, and I will just check that. The gel shown on Tuesday, Wednesday, June 3rd, 4th. Is a very pretty gel, and was actually used in the publication by George Connell and myself on purification of human haptoglobin and quantitation. As the method says, the Dowix 2X10 with 200 to 400 mesh. Anionic exchange resin, positively charged resin, was used, as I've been able to show in the earlier books, was used as the chloride to absorb the haptoglobins from dialyzed serum at pH 4.2, and then the haptoglobin was eluted with 0.05 mole of sodium chloride after washing, of course, with water and at room temperature. So these were beautifully purified haptoglobins made by George, and this particular gel was the one that appears in his paper published in 1959. We are 58, so published a year later, but it was a very pretty gel that I was very proud of. Again, with haptoglobin 2B showing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, more than 10 bands. I'm trying to understand how they were related as polymers, whether it was you could find that the mobility was proportional to the logarithm of the number of the band or whatever. Interesting tests at that time. Very pretty result. I remember being very delighted with it. The Outer Centrifuge run again on Friday, June 6th, with haptoglobin 2-2, good haptoglobin 2-2 purified, and rather poor haptoglobin 2-1. Showing there were two main zones, not very informative or useful. I suppose it was necessary, but it seems rather a waste on Tuesday, Wednesday, June 10th and 11th, comparing the purified haptoglobins, rather dilute, with the serum samples from which they were prepared. Some more gels comparing all of the samples that were done. Sunday, Monday, June 16th, it's rather nice to see who the samples are from. That's myself, Dr. Scott, and Otto Hiller as prime examples of the three haptoglobin types, with and without hemoglobin. They're quite pretty gel. I don't really know why I was running it at that time. Particularly because by then it was well known. everything that that showed. Photography of one-dimensional gels still being pursued, and more vertical gels. Probably for thinking about getting ready for publication, quite a nice set of photographs on the Friday, Saturday, June 21st. Note the post-albumins, which are quite good. No particular family or anything. I tried to electrofreeze the zones out of the gel on Monday, June 23rd, 24th. Not too successful, so I've froze and thawed the gels, which is the easy way to get something out. Just freeze the gel and thaw it and centrifuge it, and you could get a supernatant which contained much of the protein that was in the gel. So freezing thawing was adopted. Rabbit 4 was run, rabbit serum, not worth a great deal of comment. But rabbit serum with hemoglobin and without hemoglobin. Never followed up. It says rabbit haptoglobin could be prepared in the same way as human, similar yields and similar impurity, meaning that you could use it to make a different species of haptoglobin. The haptoglobin has a rather high, rather low isoelectric point. It's still negatively charged at the pH 4.2, which is why it is adsorbed to the resin at that pH, because it's still negatively charged. The page on the Thursday, June, Monday, Tuesday, June 30th was a gel, was a good image of a gel. And this is a whole set of images which had been found at an earlier place in one of the other notebooks. It's a stack of images that were just labeled gel 1, gel 2, gel 3, and all loose together. But the actual gel itself and the record of it is here on June 30th, 30, and July 1st, the same one. More attempts at getting good images of the vertical gel, getting ready to publish, clearly thinking about it, and working to get good images. And in fact, on Thursday, Friday, July 25th is the gel that was finally published as illustrating the vertical gel electrophoresis. It's an interesting one because, in fact, it contains samples from the Diane quintuplets that were famous in Canada. In those days, before in vitro fertilization and many multiple births, quintuplets were extremely rare, and Norma Ford Walker, Dr. Norma Ford Walker, had been studying these families of the Diane quintuplets. They were so famous that the trains that passed nearby where the lived would stop to allow passengers to get out and look at these babies. So they were really quite famous. And anyway, here are their samples. They weren't identical quintuplets, and there is a description in my paper of what they actually were, which I'll try to find. somewhere here. Yeah. it comments that no, it's not that one. Oh, hold a moment, Jenny. Says, but my notebook just lists them as Mother Eileen Hargreaves and Jennifer, Janice, and Joyce. Three of the four quadruplets. They were not quintuplets, they were quadruplets. Even then, it was quite rare, very rare. The comment in the publication, which included this image, let me backtrack. This image was also used for publishing the vertical gel electrophoresis, and in that paper there is a comment on what the samples are. And samples 1 and 2 on the left hand side of the gel are from a pair of female twins aged 45 years old. One is unmarried and the other a mother of four children. The haptoglobin and beta globin types of these individuals are the same, and you can see all of the multiple bands of the haptoglobin. They look as if they were the same sample, but of course they are actually from identical twins. And then samples 3 through 5 are from the three female quadruplets aged approximately 9 years old at this point. A sample from the remaining quadruplet was not available. The three quadruplets here concerned, in it says in the paper, are known from their red blood cell type to be non-identical. The haptoglobin types of the first two differ. One is 2-2 and the other is 2-1. On the other hand, the post-albumin albumins of these two children are indistinguishable, and they differ from the twins, etc., etc. So this was used to show that there were this gel shows that there are many inherited differences that one can see in these samples that have not been studied, and which I never had time to work on, but other people did at some other times. So it says that the evidence is presented which suggests that genetic factors are involved in the variations in the different individuals of the serum proteins which migrate immediately behind albumin, what I call post-albumins. There's a nice gel and a nice publication from it, and a rather happy experience with these quadruplets and Norma Ford Walker's family. Tests with ceruloplasmin on Friday, Saturday, August 8th, 9th, some other proteins. This is ceruloplasmin. I don't know from whom it was obtained, though I suspect it was probably via Dave Pulick, and maybe came from Kunkel, who was prepared many of these metallic binding proteins. It might have come from Alec Byrne, but Alec Byrne or Henry Kunkel, the Rockefeller, they were very generous with material that they made, and were well recognized for their contributions. Particularly, Alec liked to work with ceruloplasmin, the copper binding protein. And there is a comparison there. It's rather heavy, is ceruloplasmin, and whether or not it really lines up in the same position in the gel, with anything in the gel, I don't know, because I never proved that any band in the serum was a copper binding. The gel, the many exposures of this gel, of which the ones that are rather darker show things better. A fraction from a comb fraction. I'm not quite sure what that is. Looks like a mixture of haptic lobins in channel 2, but it's not. It's there are two gels here, and one is various cone fractions, and the other is it's not clear. There are two gels, but only one diagram of, and they aren't the same. Let me try that again. Friday, Saturday, August 8th, 9th, there are two images of two gels attached to this part of the notebook. There are comparisons of Otto Hiller serum with ceruloplasmin type 1 and 2, ceruloplasmin 3, and Scheinberg's ceruloplasmin. Three different preparations of ceruloplasmin, the copper binding protein that is absent in Wilson's disease. I think these probably came from Henry Kunkel, but they might have come from Alec Byrne, who was an expert in Wilson's disease. And the three ceruloplasmins are very, very similar, but 1 and 2 and 3 are so Roman 1, Roman 2 in the text there, and three are slightly different, but they are obviously migrating in front of beta globin. But whether any band in the serum pattern is the same can't be established by just looking at things migrating in the same general place. And then there is a second gel there for which there are several images, which are of purified cone fractions, with a comment that haptoglobin is in fraction Roman 4-Arabic 4 cone fractions. And so interesting, but not terribly important. There's some saturation tests on hemoglobin, haptoglobin, on Thursday, Friday, August 15th. They don't look very convincing. This is an addition of pure haptoglobin 2-1 to hemoglobin. For saturation tests, and in all of them, there is an excess of hemoglobin, but it's stained also with benzidine, so there's a benzidine test as well, but it's not a very important result. And the last entry on this. In this book is again, they're typical of looking at ways of getting samples into gels, trying to introduce the sample laterally. A semi-automatic insertion doesn't look very good, and there's no image of any gel there. So that's the end of book Roman 17.